Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, that's probably live right now, right? Because it's
cold
dark when we
dark.
Get in.
Actually, it's going to be hot today. 58 degrees.
62, I think.
What?
See, yeah. That's how people get sick, man. I can't. Hot, cold, I can't
listen, mind. Jay, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, as they say. Right. Just take the hot weather. Hot. You hear Patrick Mahomes, Diana Russini asked him. By the way, you're listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. The ESPN app. We're on ESPN2. You can download the podcast. You can listen on your smart speakers. Guys, good morning, first of all.
Good weekend.
Great solid. Weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, solid.
Wasn't nothing but sports, really.
Yeah. Ran the ball. What you ran did? The ball this weekend, Key. You picked up. You played solid and sound football this weekend.
Bama got their win like
you
forecasted.
Yeah, I watched a lot of college football on Saturday. Mm-hmm. What else did I do? That's really it.
Yeah, a lot of football this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of football on Saturday, because Georgia was winning early in that Alabama game,
here we go. So
it was, you already know it's already coming to it. I already feel it. A lot of trash talking.
It is
between
crazy.
Key and I on the text.
No,
tape.
It wasn't trash talking. It was, I was just trying to get educated on Georgia versus Alabama, and I went to you and you enlightened me on a few things
See, Key tried to tie me into something. What happens? It's like a vet, what they do to their young pups, right?
Yeah.
They try to start, all right, try to punk you. Like, oh, you want to bet? Oh, then bet. Keep throwing up number high. I'm like, come on, man. Like, I'm not trying. I don't feel comfortable in that range. Obviously, you do. So that's where it escalated.
No, it wasn't comfortable. You put it out there, and I just said bet. Then you wanted to show me that you was Big Daddy, so you wanted to.
Yeah,
go.
I had to beat
you
my chest
to take
a little
it to the
bit.
Extreme,
and then I didn't want to take it to the extreme. I just laid out.
But you still owe me.
I don't owe you. We never confirmed the bet.
It did. I pushed sin, and the bubbles were still going.
I looked at this text chain. I thought there was a confirmed bet for a much lower amount than you were saying.
Yes. What happened?
Yes. I did not confirm that higher amount.
Yes.
No,
what happened was I pushed sin. It didn't go through. So after I initially said bet, then I had our. So when I said bet, I sent the text that got caught in the.
Oh, that.
No,
but what he's on the hook for is, I believe, 1/100th of what you believe he's on the hook for.
Because it got hyped, and he said, "Nah, no bet, I ain't doing that."
No,
you
that
got
was
it.
After the fact. And it got caught up. So
see, that's the keyism. That's how he tie you into it. He's good at it.
So anyway, that was college, which is nuts. Alabama, Georgia, of course. Like, Alabama.
But I told you.
It's unreal.
I told you that was going to happen, though. The Oklahoma State, Alabama.
Yeah.
Just like Georgia. I told you some of the stuff that was going to happen yesterday in the NFL, which it did.
Georgia, for sure, didn't have the greatest defense of all time. But I'll tell you what. They could have a rubber match.
Where's Pollock at, man, when you need
coming
him.
On.
They could have a rubber match with the championship on the line, and it looks like it's headed that way. And that would be great. 1-1. Listen. Meantime, in the NFL, you heard Patrick Mahomes, guys, as we came into the show talking to Diana Russini. He was asked if the Chiefs are back. Let's listen to that again.
I mean, we're winning a lot of football games. I'll say that. We're right where we want to be at. With a defense playing like this, if our offense can find who we are, we're going to be a hard team to beat.
It's crazy that you're hearing Patrick Mahomes say, if the offense can find out who we are.
You believe, go back to the beginning of the year. If we told you in week 13 the Chiefs' defense would be carrying them and their offense hadn't shown up yet this year, would you believe me?
I could believe that. I really could. I think what happens in this situation is we have been accustomed with our taste buds of seeing high-flying, down the field, big plays out of Kansas City. And so when we see Patrick Mahomes with no passing TDs, and his stat line, no passing TDs, an interception, a rushing TD, the first thing you go is, they must have lost. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the score, it is 22. You're like, well, that doesn't really look like the MVP. But that's the way they've been all year long. So now they're winning different than what you've seen over the last 3 years. That's all. They just win in different. It's enough to go where they're trying to go because the defense is playing good. But and the offense, all the offense has got to do is hit a few points, They got more than what the opponent has, and they win the game.
Jay, this is why I like Kansas City.
Been saying it, I know.
And I'll tell you, but here's like the next wrinkle for me. If you are the other team playing Kansas City, and the coach comes in and goes, here's our defensive game plan, and someone raised their hand and said, but coach, if our defense works and they take what we give them, they're still going to win the game. It's like the defense is like, don't give up any big plays and do this and this. But if Mahomes just takes what the defense gives him, they're going to score. And if their defense holds up, that's the game plan to play the Chiefs is a losing game plan if it works out, is my point.
I agree. And last night felt like a givey to me. I mean, coming into the weekend, I was like, oh, I'm going to bet this game just because even though I know that the Chiefs have been horrible against the spread this year, like just – Andy Reid, 19-3, coming off the bye week. I mean, now they're 20-3. Okay, that's a gimme. And the scary thing is just understanding, looking at all the teams in AFC key. All right, the Pats, they play the Bills tonight. That's a really big-time game. You know, people are trying to wonder, like, who's the best team in the AFC? But if I'm sitting there looking at the Chiefs, I'm like, their defense is clicking. 17 or fewer points their last seven games for the defense. Exponentially, like last night on third down, I mean, they made life miserable for Teddy Bridgewater. And their offense hasn't even come close to clicking. Like, that offense still seems – it's just it's like clicking, he was being disciplined last night. No, it's not instead of exploding, you know?
Clicking the way people want it to click. Even Patrick Mahomes wants to take those shots, but he is, for whatever reason, pulling back from those sort of things. So what you're seeing now is you're just seeing basically a normal NFL offense, yeah, opposed to I can score at will anytime I want to from the past 3 years. So your body is in shock right now, but so to speak. Your mind, your eyeballs, what you're seeing, you're like, is this not Kansas City? Because mm-hmm. what you've seen is like Kansas City's down by 21. Oh, they're up by 10 now.
Yeah.
But that's okay in the past. Now they're winning this way. Because if I told you that was the Dallas Cowboys.
Nice win.
20, you'd go – nice win, 22. You'd say, okay,
solid football. Solid they won football. By two scores.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, if that was the Rams or if that was Seattle, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's a good win for them.
So there's two things then. One, can they win a Super Bowl this way?
They can win a Super Bowl that way.
Two,
is there – that's how Super Bowls are won.
Is their offense capable of clicking the way we remember it? Is it capable of doing that?
It is capable of doing it because all he has to do is hit one or two big plays. If you add one or two of them Tyreek Hill, deep
points.
Crosser,
yeah.
Now that's 30 points, yeah. And that's another 80 yards, and now you look and put his numbers together and be like, oh, Patrick Mahomes threw for 300 yards and two touchdowns.
Plus, I don't know what the stat is, but it just feels like between Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Darrell Williams, like, yards after the catch, like even though they have a lot of checkdowns, man, they seem like they get 6 or 7 yards after the catch all the time.
Yeah, video game.
It's just crazy.
The cheetah,
like, still moving the ball down the
cheetah,
field consistently.
The cheetah be out there like he in high school. You know, like, man,
scary, man.
Get your butt down.
Fastest land mammal, Tyreek Hill.
Crazy, Hill. Dude.
It's insane.
But they won, and they played a tough team in Denver that – we all thought was done based on the Von Miller trade, but that's a tough team who fights and they scrappy. And they won the game. That's all you can really ask for.
Can I give one quick shout
out of that?
Javonte Williams. Just let him be running back number one, man.
By the way,
what's his name?
I call him Williams.
No, say it's the first name.
Williams.
It's no joke.
Williams.
Javonte. Why we do that to ourselves?
Stop. Just let this man live.
No.
Let's call him Mr. Williams.
Javonte,
running back one.
Devontae, D-Tay. Like, we should do some
just
stuff.
Just call him Jay Williams. There you go.
Did,
short.
Did the name Keyshawn exist before you?
Ooh.
Did it exist before me?
Yeah.
Or popular?
Well, like, for example.
Yeah, it wasn't popular.
For example, Jalen.
I met one Keyshawn before.
Jalen Rose. Oh, Jalen was the first of his name, basically, right?
Keyshawn.
And now you got a lot of Jalen's. You got a lot of, like, from Wu-Tang, Raekwon. You got a lot of Shaquille since Shaq. You got more. There's a fighter right now, Keyshawn Davis, real good.
I don't want to take credit for that, but I mean, there's a coincidence that's there that, you know,
you can't say you don't want right, to take credit.
Right.
For
you know
it
what? Let's
take
move.
Credit for
let's
it.
No
move
no no
on,
no
man.
No no. I know where he's going. I know where he's going.
Well, I'm just saying I don't want to take credit.
What
for
area
it,
is
but,
he from?
But.
what area is he from?
Who?
How often did we play there? All that kind of stuff. Just calm down. Be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line.
Yeah, there's a lot of Keyshawns, Deshawns, Deshawns.
Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN. Lots of Maxes, too, by the way. I think that was after me. My parents originated the name. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up. The fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. By the way, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all phone guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Up next, why the Ravens' loss is not as concerning, distressing to Ravens fans as you might think, as you think it should be. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN2.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. By the way, you can tweet us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Key, J, and Max. That's at Key, J, and Max. And you can call us at 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. All right, guys, it is time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Coach John Harbaugh, the Ravens head coach, at the post-game presser after that tight loss to rival Pittsburgh.
Tried to win the game right there. We were pretty much out of corners, you know, at that point in time. So there's an opportunity to try to win the game right there.
Mm. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. What do you think, Key?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when he went for two, because I immediately figured, all right, they're going to kick the ball. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I happened to look over there, and they still was in the huddle. I was like, I know he ain't going. I said, I want the kicker. I said, maybe the kicker's hurt. You know, that was my whole initial thought. I didn't even know he did it based on the corners. Whether it was the corners or the field goal kicker was hurt, whatever the case is, it should have been the right call. It was the right call. Mm-hmm. Lamar did a Houdini move. Flipped it out there. Ooh. And all Mark Andrews has to do is run through the pylon. If he explodes right now, touchdown. But what happened was you cannot run with your shoulders turned sideways. They should – he should – see, you can't do that. You've got to run straight to the pylon. If he runs straight to the pylon, he walks in. It's a touchdown.
It's like,
but he's running – he's like running open with his chest open back toward Lamar, and you can't do that.
It's like playing the outfield in baseball. Balls hit over your head. You got to take three steps straight back
before you
start tracking it.
And he knows that. He knows that if he accelerates through the ball, he walks in, and he'll never make that mistake again. That just happens at that point in time. He made the mistake.
Well, it's a bad game to happen.
Well, it just feels like how many times can the Ravens come back from being down and have that kind of pressure in Lamar Jackson? Right? I mean, you just felt like the Steelers were trying to give the game away. I mean, even the kickoff key that went out of bounds, that gave that – it's like all those things that led to that point. But I will say this. I do have to give the Steelers defense a lot of credit.
Absolutely.
Right? Chargers, Bengals, they give up 41 points. T.J. Watt, 3.5 sacks. Like you talk about, Lamar Jackson got sacked 7 times last night. Like their defense has answered the bell after everything the Steelers have been through this week. Right, Chase Claypool saying that stuff about music during practice. Tomlin going at it. Tomlin taking stuff from Ryan Clark that he's using here. Like, it was a character opportunity for this team, and they got rewarded for it.
There's so much here, Jay and Key. Like, first of all, I agree with you, Key. First of all, even without those extra circumstances, I never jump on a coach for trying to win. Like, everyone's so scared.
Just try to
win. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. But go for it. I love that.
No, I don't think. I think if his secondary was healthy, he'd
yeah, maybe he just kept. Yeah, but
the, ain't but I, no maybe he would have killed.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, for whatever reason, they went for it. I'm not going to kill a guy for going for it.
No. Says Corners got hurt. Marlon Humphrey went out last night
hurt,
as well.
So like, I get it.
Next thing is the whole year, Pittsburgh writing them off. I don't think they're going to be great, but I knew one thing with Tomlin as the coach. You could talk about the defense, Roethlisberger, whatever. Mike Tomlin's not going to have a 10-loss season. Like, that's out. This team is not going to be under 500, and this is a rivalry game. Look at them, 6-5-1, over 500 right now. Do they end the season that way, over 500?
Yeah, they'll end the season over 500. They got the Minnesota Vikings next, so that
7-5-1.
They got a coach who's probably in Coach Zimmer, who's probably going to get his walking papers at the end of the year in the locker room. Know that, so you're going to get that. U-Hauls are starting to be packed up in Minnesota because everybody's thinking about Christmas and. You know, that vacation that they're going to have after this season is over with. So that will probably be a W for them. And then whatever else they have left on the schedule. When you look at the schedule, though, I mean, you look at that division, the best player in the division is on the best team. And the best player in that division is Lamar Jackson, period.
It's Madden.
I mean,
it's
just
Madden.
So who's the second best team?
Second best team in the division is
Bengals.
And then the Steelers and the Browns.
So that's where it gets interesting, actually, at the bottom. Steelers over Browns.
Because the Browns, I don't know that they're going to get it together enough to turn things around. It just seems like the Baker Mayfield stuff is starting to take its toll on the team. First it was the OBJ, and then Landry is like, I don't get no touches. It just seems like it's starting – to take his toll. And then you got, what, is it Kareem Hunt's dad who went after?
Yep.
So
yep.
It's like it's a lot of stuff.
It's just wild, Key, because at you the know. Beginning of the year, it was a certified consensus.
That they was going to the playoffs, for sure.
Yeah, and that Big Ben was the last quarterback in that division.
But I'm taking Big Ben over all the quarterbacks of that division right now anyway.
What?
Not I'm Lamar Jackson?
You taking him two over? At the end of a game? I don't care with nobody. No, well.
Yeah, not Lamar Jackson. You'll
probably
Lamar,
not over Lamar. Lamar. Probably I, not over Lamar.
Over
but
Joe
as
Burrow?
Far as, yeah, I'm going to take him over Joe Burrow.
So this is interesting.
Because the veteran, a dude like that might look like crap for 4.5 plus quarters. And then all of a sudden, he hit the shot. I mean, that's
I don't know if I can say that about Joe Burrow, though. I know Joe Burrow didn't play well.
I'm talking about one play to win a game.
Yeah,
I'm talking about at the end of a game. Only at the end of a game. I ain't talking about a season.
How much does that factor into that his head coach is Mike Tomlin? Because that's a major factor for me, too, to draw something up.
Of course it's.
So it's more of a package deal.
Because he's been his coach for however many years.
But at any rate, what we're saying, it seems, Key, what you're saying, it seems, is Browns are 4 out of 4. Baker is 4 out of 4. Like they're at the to start Crazy. The season, as Jay points out, a lot of people thought the Browns were a real Super Bowl contender. They had a great offensive line last year, number one in blocking for the pass and the run.
I certainly thought they was going to fight for the Super Bowl.
And now
they just fighting to get a wild card spot.
Bottom of the division, worst quarterback in the division at this moment because he's banged up, and the worst team in the division. Oh,
Big Ben,
poor Cleveland Browns
Big Ben,
fans.
Man, Big Ben. Dropped buckets last night, and Johnson dropped it.
Well, not
related to me.
Not related to you.
Deontay.
Yeah. See, that's
in the first
one.
Half, right? Yeah.
With an eye,
he made up for it.
He made up for it. But those type of throws, you can get out of Ben. It was put right in his hands, man. Right over the outside shoulder. Right there, it just like, man, you out there dropping Bentleys and everything else. That's a house in your hands.
Watching Big Ben for that last minute and a half, 2 minutes on the sideline, he was so tight. Yeah, everybody just – you felt that the Ravens were going to score. You just felt with the way they were marching the ball down the field, they were going to score.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, guys, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, time to run the No Huddle here on ESPN Radio. Detroit Lions picked up their first win of the season yesterday, guys, beating the Vikings 29-27. Jared Goff threw for 3 touchdowns and almost 300 yards. The Lions and Vikings also paid tribute to victims of Tuesday's school shooting in Oxford, Michigan, by wearing a gold O on the back of their helmets. After the game, head coach Dan Campbell dedicated the game ball to the community of Oxford.
This game ball goes to the whole Oxford community, all those were affected. And that being said, man, I want us to not forget these names, Madison Baldwin, Hannah St. Juliana, Justin Schilling, Tate Muir, Phoebe Arthur, John Asciutto, Riley France, Elijah Mueller, Kylie Osigi, Aiden Watson, and Molly Darnell, who's a teacher. Those names for all those you know, will never be forgotten, and they're in our hearts and our prayers and all the families, and not to mention all those that were affected by all of this, the classmates, the brothers and sisters, the cousins, the teachers, everybody.
That's a beautiful thing that he could address it like that and be so, you know, passionate about it. And I think, you know, the entire community within Oxford as well as in Detroit, Michigan, whole area, that was big to be able to get a W, and you know exactly what it means to those individuals' families is big time. Never mind, you know, it's not even about the one win and getting the win and not having to worry about getting blanked throughout the course of the season. It's just a special moment right there to be able to share something positive for that entire state.
Yeah, just for the entire community. And I love the fact that Dan Campbell has those names memorized. I think that speaks volumes about his character and him as a leader. In a happily matter, I'm glad they finally got a kneecap there in Detroit. He talked about biting kneecaps. That's what they wanted to do. And look, without Swift playing in this game for the Lions, and with the way Jared Goff played in the first half compared to the way he played in the second half, which was not good, it was good to see this team finally get a win. Even though you talk about, does this mess up their draft chances for number one pick? That's what you want. You want to get a win. You want to compete. And for a team that has had a hard time closing out games, they finally got one.
I agree with you about the names. You said all their names. That was important, and it felt it. That was he did that just right.
Yes.
I thought talked about the family, the victims' families, and how it affects them. And then in terms of the football of it all, this is Jared Goff's first win without McVay as his head coach in the NFL. Never won a game without McVay as his head coach until now. And the fact that the win comes one day shy of a full year since the last win. Whew. Joe, well, before I get to Joe Burrow real quick, I know we're in no huddle. You were on a one-win team once.
God.
Well, but then you guys had a good year. The next year I made the AFC Championship game, the game the year after that. What does that one win mean when you get that one win? Because the fans are going like, come on, one win, who cares? But what does that mean?
Would you just ask me what does one win mean?
Yeah. No. Max. But in other words, not going winless. What does it mean?
To be honest with you, I don't even know. To be honest with you, because when we had that one win, we played the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
When we go through the commercial break, find out how many damn wins they had. So this was like one of those games.
But still, you don't go winless.
Your team had one win.
No. Wait, hold on. If you go winless in a season, you live in infamy. It's different.
1-15 does not feel any different than 0-16.
Not any different?
Hell no.
To me, it's different.
And then the bad thing about it is my coach came in after the one win the next week and said, we got a chance to still make the playoffs. We got... Give me a few, because I think we were 1-7 or something. He said we can go 8-8.
This is later in the season.
Aaron Glenn, who's a defensive coordinator on the Detroit Lions, was my teammate on the 1-15 Jets.
Oof.
Max, best question of the day thus far.
That's a serious question.
I see the way you tied it all together.
That's a serious question. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow dislocated his pinky finger when he was sacked and fumbled on the Bengals' first offensive series. He said it popped back into place on its own and didn't affect his passing. Burrow was 24 of 40 for 300 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. Here's what he said about the impact on him moving forward.
Well, I was able to finish the game. So it's, I mean, unless it somehow gets worse, which I can't imagine it's going to get worse, then I'll be playing next week.
Yeah, that ain't nothing. That's a little boo-boo, man. You rub that on some dirt and kiss it and keep it moving. Didn't affect his throwing at all. That's not why he had the two interceptions in the game. They just dialed things up defensively. He went up against Brandon Staley, who's a pretty good defensive coordinator. He knew, hey, one guy's going to eat that. One guy's going to be T. Higgins. But Ja'Marr Chase, along with Joe Mixon, and along with Tyler Boyd, we were going to take them out of the game. But also on the flip side of things, Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert is just a freak of nature at the quarterback spot.
So
big, tall, long drink of water, dialing it up, zipping it through. And he is one of those young quarterbacks that a coach will be with. Coach Staley will be with him for the next 10 years plus. That's what type of talent he has. The Chargers could make some noise. They could make some noise if they get into the playoffs.
Will Joe Burrow's pinky finger be talked about as much as Aaron Rodgers' pinky toe?
That's what I'm waiting for. Look at that throw. Look at this.
I mean, Justin Herbert was spectacular. I will say this, though. Every time I saw Joe Burrow throw the ball on the sideline, he was wincing, man.
Yep.
I mean, it seemed like he was in legit pain. So, I mean, two interceptions, one fumble. It was a tough day for Joe Burrow, but I still want to give Cincy a lot of credit for fighting back in this game. And I still think you're going to be there when it's all said and done.
Justin Herbert, to me, is the guy you start a franchise with. To me, he's the closest thing to Mahomes, younger and cheaper right now. Like, he's unbelievable. But, Key, let's see if you'll answer this one. I think I'm making a joke on this
one. You said that very definitively, but yesterday you were a little bit more, Friday, you're a little bit more on the fence.
No.
About whether you would take Herbert or Burrow.
No. I'll say the same thing. Burrow still gives me this feeling like he might wind up with the most Super Bowls. Okay. I have to take Herbert based on the talent. I got to do it. Key, let's see if you answer this one, because the last one you guys thought I was joking. You had a finger pop out 2 days before the Super Bowl? So you had the same sort of thing that Joe Burrow had?
No, worse. My bone actually popped out the skin. Ow. So to the point where I could take this finger right now, and I could put it. I could put it back here on the top of my wrist.
With the bone popped out of the skin, in the cartoons?
And how'd you do that? How'd that happen?
Messing around in our pregame, our walkthrough. We were in a walkthrough before our actual practice, and John Gruden, our coach at the time, was shadowing me, and I kind of tried to rip through him, and it got caught in his T-shirt. Mm. So when I ripped through him, I was trying to actually break his wrist because he was out there doing that. So I wanted to do that, and when I did it, it just got caught, and it was like so ugly.
It was a sign.
Damn,
it was a sign for John Gruden for a long time coming.
Oh, and then played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but
it hurt. I mean, they got some stuff that'll numb all that up, though. You could do it like that.
Let's move on.
Tom Brady threw for 368 yards and four touchdowns, as the Tampa Bay Bucs moved to the brink of clinching the NFC South with a 30-17 win over the Falcons. The 44-year-old Brady also completed 38 of 51 passes to stay undefeated for his career against the Falcons. Here's what Tom Brady said about that accomplishment.
It's a great organization. I think, I didn't play much when I was with the Patriots. Last couple of years, we played pretty good against them. We played good. We actually, here last year, was a really tough game. We were down a bunch of points at half and then came out and really sparked our whole second part of our season, playing them here. And they played us hard at home this year. It was a close game, 28-25 in the fourth quarter. And then, again, played us tough here. It's a really well-coached team. They fight to the end. They got a lot of good players.
Do me a favor, Max. In the future, never predict anybody's career ending. Mm. Please.
Well, why? It's good for them. What are you talking about?
Tom Brady.
It worked.
Look, Tom Brady's just ridiculous.
Yeah, look, he's
really good.
By so far the greatest older player of all time in football, too, because no quarterback had ever been great past the age of 41. He's 44. But this begs the question, guys. Look, I had various players as my MVP different parts of the season. Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford for a second.
Put Jonathan Taylor in the conversation, please.
Okay, fine. Aaron Rodgers.
I know, but still.
Different guys. But, guys, I got to say, this guy missed a game. This guy missed two games. This guy was real bad one game. And Tom Brady right now is my MVP. He's been there every week. And the worst he's been is pretty good. I think he's the MVP
now. You can't go wrong with him. You can't go wrong with Lamar. You can't go wrong with Kyler Murray or Aaron Rodgers. They all kind of switch it out week to week depending on how they play. But if it comes down to it in the end, I think it's going to come down to Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady to get the MVP.
Because of all those practices, he only played six padded. He was no good week one, and they got blown out. And then he missed a game where Brady has just been there.
The only thing you can hold against Kyler Murray is the fact that he's missed
three games. Yeah, he missed a couple games. Otherwise, it might be Kyler.
I think more impressively for me is the Bucs just finding different ways to win. If it's Tom Brady throwing for 51 pass attempts this game, last game it was Leonard Fournette just pounding them on the ground. Even their defense is starting to come around. I think about Sean Murphy Bunton and Carlton Davis. They're finally getting healthy now. It's about when do you click at the right time, and it feels like the Bucs are trending in the right direction.
No doubt. And without AB, where they're much better with AB, Brady throws the ball down the field, and they're 5-0. And they're like 500 going into that game without it, but now he's spreading it around.
We're going to talk about
Evans,
Gronk.
Gronk.
The biggest target on the field. Found him twice.
You brought up Kyler Murray. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray, Jay, threw for two touchdowns, ran for two more. That's why he's in that bucket with Key with Lamar Jackson. In his return from ankle injury as the Cardinals beat the struggling Chicago Bears 33-22 on Sunday, the Cardinals got Murray back and the three-time Pro Bowl receiver also DeAndre Hopkins after both players missed three games because of injuries. Here's what Kyler said about how he felt in his return.
Yeah, it felt good. I mean, just to be out there moving around, kind of, you know, being myself, you know, just playing a game that I love to play with these guys. It was fun. Glad we got the win. Yeah, man, it was great to be back.
Little dude be scooting, boy. Gosh. Well, I mean, look, here's what I would say. I don't know how far they can go in the playoffs, but they certainly are up there in a class by themselves in the NFC. I like Kyler Murray. I like what they was able to do. I didn't realize he was going to play. I thought they would sit him out because it was Chicago and they would go with Colt McCoy again, but clearly he was capable of playing. You can see that he took care of business along with DeAndre Hopkins. They got a W. They got out of there, and now they're back in safely landing in Arizona. So the Red Sea could leave me alone.
See, I'll say this, Max and Key. I think yesterday, even though the game was against the Bears, I think the Bears had a chance to win that game due to the fact that these conditions, it was freezing rain, gusty wind. Yeah. I mean, a team coming in from Arizona, what we talk about all the time, like, all right, like, can they win in those type of conditions? Kyler Murray, D-Hop, that defense, they stepped up. I mean, the way they controlled the game with James Conner, I just think that team, that was a huge win just to show that, hey, it doesn't matter what condition you put us in, we can still be this explosive.
Whether or not we believe it, the best argument objectively on the facts you can make is a fully healthy Cardinals team has been the best team in the NFL this year, yes. Wire to wire, basically. Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max on ESPN Radio. Guys, let's move to some college football.
Cincinnati is fourth, the first group of five team to make the playoff, and they'll meet number one Alabama. In the other, it'll be second-ranked Michigan and number three Georgia. Just out of the playoff, Notre Dame is fifth, Ohio State ranked sixth.
Hey!
Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, joins us, brought to you by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up, and the fans are hyped. Crack open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, slash on a coat of a fresh coat of face paint, and return to glory with an all-new fans season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Good morning, Paul.
Paulie.
Good morning, my friends. How are you?
It was an interesting weekend of college football. Paul, what'd you make of the committee ranking Alabama ahead of Michigan?
I thought they made the right choice, and it was a very narrow choice, Max, but ultimately, Alabama beat the number one team in the country. That sounds strange to say, considering Alabama is usually number one. They did it in convincing fashion. And, yeah, I think after that, it gets really narrow. But Michigan has had a phenomenal season. But I think beating Georgia, Trump beating Ohio State last week, and Iowa this week.
Paul, what did you make about Nick Saban's yummy rat poison comments that he made?
Yeah, here's a guy who 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you know, blamed the media for feeding his team with rat poison and almost causing them to lose. And now he's talking about it in reverse. Nick Saban, of all people, is claiming that his team was motivated because everybody picked Georgia to win the game. Now, I don't think that had one thing to do with the game, but Saban is a master of the moment. And he loved needling the media because, quite frankly, very few people thought Alabama was going to win this game. When the line came out at 6.5, I had some people that covered Georgia saying, if that was anyone other than Alabama, it would be 14-17. That's how a preponderance of evidence seemed to be stacking up against Alabama. So Saban having one of the most bizarre seasons I've ever seen in terms of actually looking like he's a human being and enjoying life, guys. And he really, he hasn't done it yet. But this team has not been great at times. They've been very fragile. They've been inconsistent. And here we are heading into the playoff, and they're number one in the country. It's so remarkable to have watched this thing and to have seen Saban seemingly enjoy the journey for the first time.
I know he was smiling there at the podium. You know, when they were getting the trophy, he's sitting there smiling from ear to ear, which was pretty amazing to me. But Paul, what you said that a lot of people when the line came out they picked Georgia, but I never felt that way because he created the Georgia defense. So if anybody knows anything about the defense, it would be the guy who created it. That's why it was puzzling to me when everybody was acting as though that offense wasn't potent with Bryce Young. When we watched Bryce Young the entire season, true, the offensive line was suspect at times. But if anybody, man, Jay, you cannot count on Nick Saban.
Paul, real quick, did Bryce Young just seal up the Heisman? Is it his now?
It's over. And really, so part of the reason it's over, Jay, is, you know, tell me who else should win the award. I mean, we've been through the various iterations of this. I think 3 weeks ago, Stroud had won it from Ohio State. And then we were trying to put defensive players in from Georgia, which are not going to happen now. So I think he had a moment against Auburn, even though that was one of his worst games. But he was so good. And back to what Keyshawn said a minute ago, that was really the difference. First of all, Georgia had a very bizarre defensive structure where they really didn't try to go after him that much. They should have. I don't know about you, but I would have just tried to knock him off his feet as fast as possible, and they didn't do that with the best defensive line of all time. At least that's what the people that covered Georgia told us. And Bryce was just unbelievable. It's worth remembering. There were a lot of games going on Saturday. Georgia went up 10-0. And a lot of people were wondering, like, what is going on here? And then all of a sudden, Bryce started threading needles that only a few people can do. And he just kept piling up. Alabama scored on five straight possessions against a defense, guys, that only one time this year gave up more than 13 points. They gave up 17 points to, I believe it was Tennessee or Auburn. I can't remember which one. I think it was Tennessee. And that was it. I mean, they blew teams. They shut teams down on a very regular basis. And all the here we go. The punditry of college football made them out to be this invincible defense. And Nick Saban was snickering the whole way over to Atlanta.
Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Paul, we were talking on Friday about the chances of Iowa popping Michigan. That didn't happen at all. And with the complete opposite way.
No.
What would it say about Coach Harbaugh if they actually found a way to win a national championship? How would that change his legacy?
I think it's changing as we speak. And you know, we're talking to you guys are talking to somebody here who has probably been as hard on him as anybody in the country. But I am amazed at what he has been able to do. And especially because everyone wrote him off. And by the way, I say this to Michigan fans. Even his own people. I mean, they called him in here last year, into the office last year, Jay, and it came pretty close to firing him. I mean, they cut his salary. They, in my opinion, humiliated him in front of everyone. Harbaugh just didn't seem to care because he's an old school football coach. He's not in this trying to be the next $10 million a year coach. And he went back to the basics and has put together a really remarkable team. I don't think he has to win it all to have gotten away to a change the perception, but if he did, especially against an SEC team like Georgia in the first round and Alabama in the second, it would further enhance the Jim Harbaugh that left the NFL after going to a Super Bowl and a couple of NFC title games.
Paul, Oklahoma Sooners finally got that man in Brent Venables, former defensive coordinator with the Clemson Tigers, but also former defensive coordinator with Bob Stoops in Oklahoma. So he goes back to Oklahoma. Who should he hire, you think, between Joe Brady and Chad Morrison? Chad Morris, who was the offensive coordinator with him at Clemson back in the day when they won a national title. Which one of those two you think he should hire and bring in Oklahoma with him?
I'm not sure I would hire either one of them, Keyshawn. And I know Joe Brady got all this great praise after the Joe Burrow experience, but you guys saw what he did in Carolina, and it was, quite frankly, pretty embarrassing. I mean, I wouldn't hire Joe Brady. And the name that is circling around that I think is interesting to keep your eye on is Jeff Lebby. He played at Oklahoma, and he's Lane Kiffin's offensive coordinator, Keyshawn, as you all know. And a lot of people think he was really the secret behind what Ole Miss did this year with Matt Corral.
That is the great Paul Feinbaum, ladies and gentlemen, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Coming up, why Key believes Dak Prescott is in the top tier of NFL quarterbacks. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.